I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take. Thank God he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. Turn with me to the third chapter of Malachi. And look with me at verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if he will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Verse 8 asks the question, will a man rob God? And in verse 8, God gives the answer, yet ye have robbed me. We live in a day when God's people have run up great debts. All over the world, we're hearing about the debtors and what's happening. But take that into the spiritual world, and we discover that God's people have robbed God. Just think of that for a moment. The principle of God's book tells us that his people have a principle as far as giving is concerned, that the tithe, one-tenth, is the Lord. That's all the Lord demands and commands. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. All of the tithes includes all the tithes. So the verse could have been written, bring ye the whole tithe. The tithe demanded of the Lord for the sacrifices of his house. I met some, I would call them dingy, old, hard Christians in my day. And they look very sanctimoniously at you when you say that. And they say, but that's Old Testament law. It's not for us. We are under grace. Imagine making God's grace an excuse for running debts with God. The first mention of the tithes in Scripture has nothing to do with the dispensation of the law. Long before Moses was heard of, there was a man called Abraham. And that man called Abraham, we read in Genesis 14, gave his tithes to the priest of God. He paid up long before there was a law. And that is confirmed under grace in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 24. The tithe belongs to God. God's commands are most clear in this matter. But alas, Christians have held on to the Lord's tithe. And God has had to hold on to his blessing and not pour it out upon his people. In 2 Corinthians 9 and 7, it says, the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. The word in the Greek text is hilarious. The Lord loveth an hilarious giver. Sometimes when an offering is taking up, I don't see any people with a hilarious expression. No, what's wrong? Some relationship of heart between the Lord and themselves. God calls us to tithe our money and to give our tithes to God. Now look with me at my text this morning, and you will find that there are seven things in this text that you should carefully note. Verse 10, Malachi chapter 3. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there be meat in my house. Prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. What a promise is this. There are seven things, all starting with the letter P in this text. There's paying. Bring ye in all the tithes. He doesn't say bring ye in the tithes. He says bring in all the tithes. Paying. Then there's preparing. And what does he say here? He says here that there may be meat in my house. That my house will not be a hungry place, but there will be full preparations in my storehouse. And then there comes not only paying and preparing, there's providing that there be meat in my house. And then we come to proving. Prove me now. And then we come to prophesying. Herewith saith the Lord of hosts. And then we come to prefiguring, opening the windows of heaven. And last of all, we come to the pouring, pouring out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive. First of all, we need to bring in all the tithes. We need to do our paying. We must not be in debt to God. My father taught me when I was a boy that I was in debt to God until I paid my tithe. And he said this to me, you may never be rich, Ian, but when you pay your tithe, God is no debtor. And you will be enriched, not perhaps with money, but with his presence, his power, answering your prayers, opening a way in the sea and a path in the great waters. And I learned the joy of tithing. Many Christians wonder why God doesn't bless them. Well, he has had to withhold his blessing because they have robbed God. They haven't paid their tithe. I count myself fortunate that in this house, God's people are a tithing people. In fact, I was just speaking to our finance man, Mr. Winter, the other day, and he says, isn't it amazing that in this day when things are tough, our offerings are going up instead of down? I said, yes, because we have a tithing people. It's our duty to pay God. It's our privilege to pay God. And it is our path of dedication. This we must do. There is no escape from the paying of our debts to God. The old prophet, and remember at the end of his prophecy, prophesying ceased for 400 years before Christ came. There's a space of 400 years between the last speaking of Malachi and the first writing of the first chapter of Matthew. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee in tithes and offerings? Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. You could apply that to our nation. No wonder we're in the sad and sorry straits we're in. No wonder this nation, that once was a nation that the Queen could take the Bible and hold it in her hand and say, the secret of England's greatness is this book. Alas, the book is not read. Alas, the book is not obeyed. Alas, the book is attacked. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Bring them in. Yes, the paying must be done. And the money must be given to God's house. Not that the people that frequent God's house should be enriched, but that God should be enriched. That there may be meat in my house. That there may be meat in my house. The storehouse. What a thought. God's house empty because of the dinginess and disobedience of the people of God. Because God's people have stolen from God that which he is his. This is the day to redress this pitiful situation. Now is the time to do real business with God. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. The empty house needs to be filled. It is only when the storehouse is filled that the bountiful blessing will be ours. Except the commandment is fulfilled, the promises will not be fulfilled. These promises are to me. These promises are for you. Lord, help us all to fulfill the condition. Cut the tie that binds us. Break the chains that bind us. Smash the power of the evil one over us. Loose me, O God, and let me go for thee. Every sin forgive. all darkness dispel, all defeats overcome, chase every doubt away. Let the blessed sun shine, send its glorious rays into my heart, shedding a beautiful rainbow over the valley of tears. Oh, we should be the happiest people on God's earth. Toplady was the author of a great hymn, Rock of Ages. But he wrote another hymn, Thou Sun of Righteousness, arise. Shine, glorious source of light, and with the brightness of thy rays, now chase away my night. Confused and blind, though oft I am, and prone to go astray, bid me to receive my sight, shall clearly see my way. Impart a ray of heavenly light, pure fervent love inspire, and may the Holy Spirit himself fan up this sacred fire. The captive at thy word shall be from every chain released. The broken heart shall sing for joy. The troubled sea shall rest. Let not my hopes be overcast with shadows of despair. Dart through my heart thy quickening beam, and shine forever there. That's where we should be living as a people of God, where God's sun is shining. You wonder why God's sun is not shining on you, believer? Are your accounts right? Have you paid up what you owe? Have you tied what is not yours, but the Lord's? But there is also this wonderful word of providing, that there may be meat in my house. Isn't it wonderful that God asks us to be the providers in his own house? And yet everything is the Lord's. But he condescends to give up his stewardship. And he says, I'm leaving my house and all housekeeping debts with my people. For I am sure as I have given my son for their redemption, they will give their tithes for the furtherance of the gospel. Think of the tragedy of the empty cupboard in God's house. Empty because of the failure of God's people to bring in their tithes. The money and provisions which are by the law, that is God's law, are for God's people to obey. How many bankrupt supper rooms lie empty in the Lord's own house? This is robbery of the worst sort. This is an act of thievery which calls for judgment. Take up your Bible and turn with me to the third chapter of Revelation. Revelation chapter 3. And in Revelation chapter 3, you come to the seventh church. And the seventh church was the church that was Laodicean, the Laodicean church. Verse 14 of the third chapter of Revelation. This is an awful letter that God had to write to these people. And what did he say? He said unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, Verse 14 of Revelation chapter 3. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. That's a terrible statement, isn't it? I read a sermon many years ago by John R. Rice, a great American preacher, and he entitled his sermon, "The Sins That Make God Almighty Vomit." It was on this text. God will spew them out of his mouth. Because thou art lukewarm. Are you a lukewarm Christian? Are you a Christian on fire? How much do you owe the Lord? What is your banking account like? Not for the substance of this world, but for the substance of the next. Because thou sayest, I am rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing, and knoweth not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. What a statement for God to have to make to his own church. He says, they're wretched. He says, they're miserable. He says, they're poor. He says, they're blind, and he says they are naked. Is that God's description of you? But he says you don't need to stay in this wretched state. You don't need to be surrounded with the fact that I have spewed you out of my mouth. He says, I have something to give you. But you have to buy it. And how do you buy it? You pay your debts to God. Buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Buy of me white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, and thou mayest, that thou mayest see. And remember this. It's because I love you, I'm laying the rod on you. You have to beat the child, not because you hate the child, but you have to beat the child because you love it and you want to direct it into obedience. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Then we come to the saddest part of this scripture. You wouldn't even let me in. That's what the Lord's saying. You wouldn't let me in. So I'm standing at the door. I'm outside. What's more, the door is locked. The door is locked. You have to open it from the inside. And the only way you can open it is to pay me what you owe. And if you do that, I will come in and sup with you, and ye with me. Notice that when Christ gets in, all the old way of treating Christ is changed. You don't give him the second helping. He says he will eat first with us. He will be the special guest at this table. Why? Because there is meat in his house. How blind the backsliding church can become. How impoverished they can be. Oh, how we must bring the tithes into the empty sadness and bitterness of God's house. To the church in its Laodicean apostasy, God cries out with a heart of frustrated love. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. It's because I love you. I'm speaking to you this. Oh, may we hear this morning, in the depth of our heart, the voice of our beloved Lord. And may we bow to his chastening. Oh, that this will turn to our zealous repentance. Note carefully where Christ is in this church. He's at the door. He has been shut out of his own church. He's reduced to standing and knocking at the shut door. What a sight! Christians who have stolen from Christ, locking them in with the spoils they have stolen from their Lord. And the blessed Lord of life and love is expelled from his very own church, and the door is locked. We need to pray today that God will help us to break the lock. God, help us to make a highway for the Lord of hosts in our own life, in our own home. Oh God, find me at the feet of Jesus like Mary of old. God, deliver us from self-satisfaction. God, open our eyes to see him who is the great Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. O Lord, I heed thy pleadings. I will repent and turn with my soul unto thee. I send the joys of earth away. Away, ye tempers of my mind. False as the smooth, deceitful sea, and empty as the whistling wind. Your streams were floating me along, down to the gulf of dark despair. And whilst I listened to your song, your streams had even conveyed me there. Lord, I adore thy matchless grace that warned me of that dark abyss, that drew me from those treacherous seas and made me seek superior bliss. Now to the shining realms above, I stretch my hands, I glance my eyes, oh, for the pinions of a dove to bear me to the upper skies. There, from the bosom of my God, oceans of endless pleasure roll, there would I fix my last abode and drown the sorrows of my soul. May God see our sorrows drowned today. And may God see us having resolved to pay our debts to God, to bring in all of the tithes into the storehouse. And prove me now, herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if he will not open unto us the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there is not room enough to receive it. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we thank thee today for thy word. Thy word is truth. Forgive us for our sinning. Forgive us for our thieving. Forgive us for keeping thee outside. Forgive us for shutting the door and enjoying what is not our own, but was bought with a price. O God, may our hearts be broken in tenderness as we stand at Calvary. Lord Jesus, thou didst not lock the door. Thou didst open thy heart and thy body that it might be punished for our sins. Thou didst weep over us as the blood came from your veins and from your head and your back and your side and your feet. Thou didst die for me. O God, give me the love that will enable me to die to the things of the world and live unto God. Hear this, our prayer. We offer it in Jesus' name. And the people of God said, Amen. Amen.